SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the picks, the players, the hustlers, the people, the busters, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. It's the Twisted Tuesday. Rick Saratella will step up and in a couple of moments. It was a wild night tonight on the diamond. And the baseball season is rolling along, man. Look, we're already into late June right now. You know, the trade deadline is going to be around the corner. The Major League Baseball game, All-Star game is around the corner right now. Football is around the corner. And when I say football's around the corner, I mean football's on Thursday night. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Like, I get, like, the football snobs and stuff, but you're not a football fan. You're an NFL fan. There's a big difference. Any jackass, every day, seriously. There's, like, 80 million people that play fantasy football. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's 1 million of them watching USFL games. So, you know, you can sort of tell. That's sort of the number. Say it's a little higher. There's a couple of million hardcore football fans. Right, and the CFL is a great league. We got football on Thursday night. The Montreal Alouettes are getting 3.5 points against Saskatchewan. I took Montreal in week one. They were getting points against Calgary. We covered the number. I took Toronto against Montreal last week, and we got extremely lucky that the kicker missed. The kicker missed an 18-yard field goal. McInnes was what is earlier, and he brought up the they iced their own kicker. You didn't ice a kicker on an 18-yard shot. He was trying to kill time, so the Argos had less time to come back. I like somehow Kahari Jones is to blame because the kicker missed an 18-yard field goal to win a game. 18 yards, man. And I tell you, and the whole thing is, too, I even remember looking at the clock, and look, I had money on the Argos on the money line, and I swear to God, I looked, and I was like, you know what? I said, man, if they kick the field goal right now, we're going to have like 51 seconds to come back here. We still have time. And I looked back up and I was like, oh, man, he let the clock go down. He called timeout. And I even thought at the time, I was like, it's pretty smart, actually, of him. There's only like 13 seconds left now, right? If you're the coach, whatever, your kicker, like, if you call the timeout, ices your kicker on an 18-yard field goal on a sunny night in the second game of the year, then you got a problem with your kicker, all right? Then you calling timeout wasn't a problem. Anyway, the kicker will be fine. I don't know what. The kid choked. It is what it is. He's a good kicker. I don't know what happened, you know. People make mistakes. Some people. he made a mistake. Anyways, I like the Montreal Alouettes plus the 3.5 points, all right? We'll get into Friday's game later and stuff. We got the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow. And the Colorado Avalanche, this series. Listen, man, like I said, we're in late June right now. Is this thing going to go all the way into July? Right now, I would say it's crazy talk, but whatever. The ratings are good, and we want more hockey. It's good hockey. I think this thing is going 7 games. It's the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. We're throwing it down. SiriusXM Channel 159. Shout out to SoCal, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. The mightier 1090 ESPN Radio San Diego wins. We cash the ticket. They beat Arizona in 11 innings. It was a wild night on the diamond. Meanwhile, Rob Gronkowski claims that he is retired. And, you know, he's one of these players that I'll believe it when I see it. And it's the same thing like when you hear a wrestler retire. I'll believe it when I see it. And in fact, Rob Gronkowski has actually been a professional wrestler before. Rob Gronkowski is like a 80s Hollywood hair metal band who claims to have retired. Meanwhile, Poison, Def Leppard, and Motley Crue are plowing through a stadium tour right now. We're going to talk some NFL football. We'll get Rick Saratella's thoughts on all this. We're going to get biblical. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, SI.com, steps up and in to join us. We got USFL football playoffs this weekend. I got a couple of, I got a strong opinion on these games this week. I like the CFL card, but I'm excited for the USFL card. Listen, man, it's the first year of USFL football, but the quality of play was good, and the matchups are interesting. I think one of the games is going to be really lower scoring, and I think the other one we're going to have some points in, and it does feel like New Jersey and Birmingham are on a collision course right now for the USFL championship. This stuff is going on in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame, which is just super cool as well. Speaking of super cool, the Stanley Cup Finals are back tomorrow night, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. These guys were left for dead, all right, under the avalanche in the Mile High City. I think they did have a problem with the altitude, but now they're back in the Sunshine State, and Tampa Bay Lightning players and fans didn't appreciate the 7-0 beatdown. They responded, just the second team in NHL Stanley Cup Final history to give up six or more goals in a game and bounce back in the next game and score six or more. This game is a pick'em tomorrow night. We gave you the number earlier. It's been 24 times in the past that a team has been down 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals, and they won game three. They've got on to win game four 54.2% of the time. I do believe the Tampa Bay Lightning will even this series, and I think the Stanley Cup Finals are going seven games. Rick Saratella, we're getting biblical next. This is Sports Rage. Vent your rage, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Moretti. The players, the hustlers, the people that bust up, and everybody else in between. The countdown to football is on. Oh, no, wait. We've got football on Thursday. We've got football on Friday. We've got football on Saturday. And I was talking last night on the program, and I was talking about the USFL playoffs. And I see some people in our chat, and I talk to others, and they say, oh, I don't watch the USFL. I don't watch the CFL. I don't watch the Alliance Football League. And I tell them, you're not a football fan. And then they get defensive. And then they say, no, you're an NFL fan. There's a difference between being an NFL fan and a football fan. There's a difference between being a UFC fan and a mixed martial arts fan. You know what I mean? No, you are an NFL fan. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're an NFL fan, you're an NFL fan. Me, I'm a football junkie. I want the Alliance League. I want the XFL. I want the USFL. I want the CFL. I want college football. Hell, high school football. NFL football. And let's bring in a man that lives, breathes, sleeps, and dies football. Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible steps up and in. SI.com. How you doing, my man? That's why I love you, Rick. We got a passion for the game of football. Not just the NFL, but football.
Yeah, if it doesn't flow through the bloodstream, what are we really doing? And that's some exciting football, by the way. The CFL, you got the USFL championship around the corner. We got hub football. I mean, football really never stopped, did it?
No, it's a 365 operation. And the countdown to the NFL season is on. And listen, I want to get to some football news with you. But first things first, I respect what you do. You pound the pavement of North America, looking for talent, helping people out that you've never met before, putting together these camps in conjunction with Don Yee, legendary agent, of course, Tom Brady's agent. And shout out to Don as well. This guy doesn't have to be doing any of these things that he does to help out these players. But as you stated before, hey, he's got more players than just megastars. He's an agent. He's also looking for players. He's also looking for players that he can get into the league as well. But the latest hub was in San Diego over the weekend. I saw the videos. Looked like it was a big success. Talk to me about how it went down there and what kind of players showed up.
No, I appreciate that, Gabe. And it's not just a platform for the players either. I mean, the coaches are out there showcasing their talents. We've had quite a few come through. Tim McTyre was out there. He got picked up by Grambling State. We had Amanda Ruler come out, and she interned with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and now with the Seattle Seahawks. So it's been a launching pad for players. It's been a launching pad for coaches. It's been a launching pad for front office executives. We've had people come in, and Scout Von Hutchins was working with us at the Hub Football, and he got picked up by the XFL as director of player personnel. So Don is really paving a lot of opportunities, and that's what we were out there to do again this weekend. And I'll just touch base on a couple of pro guys. Charles Williams, UNLV, all-time leading rusher, maybe got some bad advice. Don't kill me now, agent. But, you know, he sat out some of the all-star circuit, maybe didn't get seen like he should have.
He's a good running back, that kid, man. He cared, man. He had no offensive line. He had no talent around him, and he still picked up yards. That kid can ball.
Yeah, over 5,000 rushing yards, I believe. And how about Rakeem Boyd out of Arkansas, all-purpose, do-it-all back. He was kind of banged up recently with the Detroit Lions. He's now healthy out there. Patrick O'Brien winging it and flinging it. Like, you could just see, this kid went to Minnesota workout recently, did not have, I think he had one incomplete pass. He came out to the Hub, got a raw deal out in Washington when the rookie, you know, the four-star recruit came in, went to Colorado State, lit it up for a year, and then a new coaching staff came in. But he was just on the wrong side of the deal, no matter where his career went. But he looked good out there. And then I'll tell you what, we talk about opportunity, the transfer portal. This kid, Brandon Smith from Santa Barbara Community College, there's no doubt in my mind this kid can play Power 5 football, and that was the first ever transfer portal, Gabe. As you know, 14,000 players sitting in that transfer portal. We give them a platform to compete.
Rick Saratella with us. And where, for players that are tuning in right now, and I know that they're out there that are thinking, I just need a shot. I need an invite. I need a camp to go to. Well, these are the type of camps that you need to be at. So where can people find information about the next stop? What's the plan, actually? What do you guys have, anything coming up in the next? I know you always have stuff coming up, but any official dates and cities yet?
You know, there is one coming up. I don't want to put it out there just yet, but you can go to hubfootball.com. You can register now for the next camp. You'll be notified of that. We'll be doing a lot more transfer portal camps and a lot of pro free agent camps.
And just for the record, for people tuning in once again, this is not like some camp in the park here. This is, you know, we're talking about Tom Brady's agent here, Don Yee. Like, this is, these are real NFL agents. These are real personnel. This is the real deal. And as you just stated, I'd love to hear, Rick, that the personnel involved with this stuff. So in other words, maybe you're going to get picked up in a couple of years. You're going to get hired by the Giants or something like that.
The phone lines are always open, right?
But it's nice to see that the coaches there that are showing up are also getting chances. As you just stated, Grambling State, great program. Get a job with the XFL. So it's almost, I guess, a good way of putting it, it's almost like a job fair, isn't it? It's a football job fair that you guys are putting together.
It is. It's an invite-only platform. You have to be invited. You have to, you know, kind of get granted access to.
Yeah, if you've never played ball before, guys, this is another thing. This is for, as you stated, this is for like, if you played high school ball, you think you got it, but this isn't a fantasy camp. You're competing against guys that have played big-level football before.
No, and it's cool. I think the biggest takeaway is the players leave a better product than when they arrived, right? Because we got guys like Ty Detmer, Seneca Wallace, Jeep Christ, Eugene Chung. I mean, the list goes on.
Great, yeah. See, I would imagine, Rick, that exactly that. It's more what you just stated, to be around these guys and to get the knowledge of what to do and not to do, as opposed to a footwork drill, right? You know, a guy like Seneca can say, listen, I've been around. I've been that guy, right? You know, you talk to a Ty Detmer. So I imagine it's the wealth of information. I imagine just they learn as much talking as there is on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a couple of transfer portal guys after the workout. I said, hey, how was your experience? You go, one receiver, he was working with Azahir Hakeem. And he goes, man, I got two new routes in my repertoire. I got a whole new release off the line of scrimmage. Like, I just learned a whole new technique of how to cut on the outside post. Like, his whole game changed in the matter. You know, it's an 8-hour workout. So he, you know, but he gets that feedback, that hands-on coaching. And, you know, I'm just proud and happy to be a very small part of it. But I'm just happy that it provides opportunities, because this great game of football, as you alluded to, creates a solid foundation for players, not just in their professional life, but I believe it carries over to their personal life.
Rick Saratella with us. So, Rick, it's countdown to NFL football is on. I mean, we're less than 80 days away right now, which is cool. College football as well, but we've got football going on. The USFL playoffs are on Saturday, and this is going to be lit in Canton at the Hall of Fame. Shout out to the Hall of Fame for doing this. And getting some football in here. I think it's great, because people also forget it's not the NFL Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL that runs the Hall of Fame. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So to have the USFL there in that,
with that aura and the tradition of Canton around them. It's going to be really cool. And we've got some good players and some good teams playing, including my boy, Luis Perez. And I know you were high on him. And, of course, you know, New York Guardians, baby. So he was the quarterback in the Alliance League of the Guardians, and he was good. He was good, and he's been very good and efficient in the USFL as well with the New Jersey Generals.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Luis Perez, a Hub Football alumni as well. We just worked out at his Helix Charter High School out there in California, where he's a legend. And Luis Perez talked about how far he's evolved. And when he came in out of Texas A&M Commerce, I mean, a guy that was just really raw. He's learned to kind of work the underneath game, the short to intermediate passing, because he throws a deep long ball that's accurate, that's beautiful. He knows when to take some mustard off the ball, the touch. I like this Generals team. I think they're getting hot at the right time. I know Birmingham has been kind of the talk of the USFL. But
I was wondering if you were gonna go with the homer. You're coming. You're a Jersey guy, right? So you go to old school. Doug Flutie, Herschel Walker, the Generals are back, baby.
I'm down here at the Jersey Shore. The tide is rising. I'm all the way in on the Generals. Are you kidding me?
Hey, come on, man. You can't beat this. New Jersey, Philadelphia, going head to head. We're battling, baby. We're battling. We got Birmingham and Nollins as well. The Breakers will break down on the other side of Morewood, Rick Sarah. And oh yeah, Gronkowski retired again. Or did he? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. We're kicking it on SiriusXM channel 159 on Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. San Diego, SoCal in the house is Rick Saratella's falling in love with San Diego. The football hub camp was a massive success. There's a lot of stuff to get to. We'll get your USFL playoff picks. But as far as Rob Gronkowski is concerned, you know, every time I see this guy retire, bro, you know what I mean? It's sort of like Ozzy Osbourne or like The Who. It's like, or Motley Crue or like one of the classic rock bands. This is our last tour ever. This is it. This is our last tour ever. And yeah, whatever, man. I saw The Who's last tour ever in the 80s, bro. And last time I checked, I think they played about 2 million shows since. So Rob Gronkowski, is he really retired? Even if he thinks he is, right? No, I'm done. I'm not doing it. Even if he thinks he is he really retired?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a paycheck and a phone call away, right? And this much I know. At this stage of the game, Gronk don't do OTAs. Gronk don't do training camp.
See, exactly. So that's why to me it's not even a story. I'm like, dude, he's not showing up to camp. He's not going to do that. So Gronk, let's just drop that. And also, at this point, he's probably, don't call me until there's about 8 games left in the season type of guy.
Yeah, Gronk says, call me come bye week. We see how Gronk feels. You know? And that's the reality of it. I mean, the guy's not going to hold up 18. You know, if you think about it now with the 17 game, you know, you play three post preseason games, 17 regular season games. You might play four. You could play 24 games now in the NFL in 1 year. I mean, Gronk don't do 24 games.
No. And he's not one of these guys like Brady loves it, right? Like Brady's actually this legend. It was out there with like the practice quarterbacks and the third stringers I saw the other day. He really is. He's doing the drills with them all serious.
Well, it's nice. It's like, bro, it's nice when you get to wear the red jersey too. Gronk doesn't wear the red jersey.
No, it's true. But I don't think Gronk doesn't love football. He loves the Sundays. He loves the party that comes with it. He loves the game on Sundays, but he's not like a practice guy. Like he doesn't enjoy showing up at 7 in the morning and all that type of stuff. And like you said, dude, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, bro, are 11-3 and Tom calls him and says, listen, I want you here for this. I need you here for this. He's getting in his car and he's driving over to the stadium.
There's no doubt about it. And I'll say this to Gronk's credit. I mean, this guy's had a slew of injuries coming out of college, the back, he's had the forearm, he's had the leg. I mean, this guy's had injury after injury. But when you take a look at the body of work in terms of a 10-year span, has there been a better tight end to do it in terms of 10 years, the championships, the accomplishments, the clutch plays? I mean, this guy is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, well, without a doubt. I think, you know, it's a good point that you raise. I think that maybe his character and his sense of humor and everything overshadows his greatness in a sense. Because even now, like you said, man, he's been, you know, that knee's taken a beating, bro. Right? So he's gotten under the knife a million times. He's been hit low a million times. And what I like about him is even now he can still have an impact on a game that he's a star guy that doesn't have a problem being a blocker as well. Right. And listen, he ain't going to catch eight balls anymore for you. But I know as a betting man, he can still pop it off for 20 yard plus, man. You dump it off to him. You still don't want to get in front of him if you're a DB, bro.
No. And I think the blocking aspect is a very underrated part of his game that really doesn't get talked about because he's had so many offensive accolades. But again, I think
he is a good blocker. He's a good run blocker, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, honestly, when you take a look at what they were doing, and I know it's a sore topic, but when Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez were in their prime, I can't remember a more dominant, powerful tight end duo that just really created a lot of mismatches. I don't think the NFL has been able to replicate that since.
And people have tried. It's a good point, right? Nobody ever had, or if you had the two tight end set, it was basically they were glorified offensive linemen, right? They were glorified offensive linemen. You didn't have the sort of hybrid, man, there's two of these dudes on the field at the same time. And we've seen a lot of teams try to implement it now, but nobody's ever been able to duplicate that talent that they had. So speaking of bad subjects, and I was looking for a nice segue into Deshaun here.
No, I just laid it up.
I went back to sorid subjects. Sorid, I guess you just said. Would you say it was a sore subject talking to bring Aaron up? So it's just a sore subject in a sense with Deshaun. You said it before, man. You said, man, these guys just might leave him and, you know, might just nail him for 2 years type of deal, or not do it now, wait it out, let the Browns eat the bad publicity, and then nail him next year with like a year or two or something, because he's only going to get paid $1 million this year. Put it this way. I know you said that, man, they might go real hard, like medieval on him. And I'm here. I've heard a couple other people in the know tell me, they're going to go extreme, man. Like, they might go 2 years. It might be like a Trevor Bauer indefinite type of deal. They might just say, bro, you're out indefinitely, man. Come back, I don't know. Come back next year and talk to us. And I like that they also said there was a little sort of a leak in a statement. Just because he settled doesn't mean anything to us.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing is I think 22 out of 26 have been settled. That number doesn't include the woman or the masseuse who didn't officially file a lawsuit. There's others, you know, there was up to 66 females that were ready to press charges here. So I think there was a lot of outside settlements. I think there was a lot of on the record settlements. It seems to make sense, Gabe, because my understanding is the NFL wanted this wrapped up by the summer. And I heard a decision was coming on the July 4th weekend, with July 4th being a Monday. The thought process was, hey, NFL will dump that news on Friday. It'll be a long holiday weekend.
Well played. Yes, sir. Yeah. Friday night, 11:30 Friday night, type 10 o'clock Friday night. Yeah.
And so here we are about 10 days from that date. He's still got four on the record settlements to settle. But I think this is all in preparation because the worst is yet to come. And I heard there could be some video out there circulating that might surface. And that could really, when you talk about a hefty fine, I think it'll be at least a year if this video actually...
Well, if there's anything visual, bro, that's the way that we all know this. Look at Ray Rice. If there was no video of Ray Rice, he's playing football.
There's a possibility that might surface.
You got to be careful, man. There's cameras in these massage places. Especially, hey, look, put it this way, bro. If I was a massage therapist and I knew Deshaun Watson was coming, I'd set cameras up too. I'd probably have people in the room with me.
If he's handing out NDAs to protect himself, I'm sure some of these girls had some cameras to protect themselves.
Like this guy like basically had an NDA in his hand when he shakes your hand. Hi, I'm Deshaun Watson. And there's an NDA. You're like, what's this? You just signed an NDA. No, he's like, no, what's this? What?
Yeah, like, take your hand. Sign it.
No, seriously. Like, who does that? Like, who's walking around with a pack of NDAs in their pocket? All right, here's an NDA for you. NDA for you. NDA. You know what I mean? He's busting out NDAs everywhere. Wait, I got an NDA in my back pocket here somewhere. Hold on. All right, here, you got to sign this, guys. Sign this. I like too, the Texans. It's reported one of the masseuse said, "Oh yeah, the Texan security guy was there and handed him an NDA thing." And then it came out, somebody found like a locker shot where he actually had him in his locker. Like, you know, one of those hindsight after when we look at McGuire and you saw a little bottle up there, you're like, oh damn, he had the bottle there. Like, somebody, I saw a reporter say, you know what? I've actually seen those NDAs in his locker before. Yeah, and he didn't know what it was. He just saw a piece of paper, and now he did the math, and he's like, oh, my God, he even had him in his locker. So this guy was walking around like they were like Tic Tacs, bro. He had a pack of Tic Tacs and a pack of NDAs in his pocket.
Well, and I think that's the thing that's so scary about this is it's a concerning trend. And, again, I still stand by the statement that if the NFL really wanted to put it to him, let him play out the agony on a $1 million deal. Let him go through this process all season long, and then 30 seconds.
Risk injury, go through it, get booed everywhere, and then we're going to suspend your ass for, like, years after. Wow, what a story. I just see the NFL seething every day, getting madder, Rick. That's my whole deal. That's why I like
Well, you wonder what the NFL has seen, hasn't seen. I mean, if we're hearing about...
They know more than we do. They know more than anyone does. They're the NFL. They have former FBI guys and investigators. Their head of security knows everything.
And he knows
what me and Rick had for breakfast this morning.
Right. And so, you know, I do think that, you know, we should see a decision by that Friday before the 4th of July weekend. I would imagine that we'll get an answer here.
I saw Adam Schefter saying the other day that he was expecting sooner rather than later as well. And even though the National Football League isn't enamored with the Cleveland Browns, they still have to tell them, right? I mean, as far as, you know, basically, I guess that Browns thought they would at least know before training camp. We haven't even brought up Baker Mayfield. That's another story. God, Cleveland. It's really amazing how you guys, Cleveland, just can screw anything and everything up all the time. Like, you built this young team, you're going in the right direction. You alienate your quarterback. It never ends.
Yeah. They did sign Catherine Raich from the Eagles, formerly of Saskatchewan, and I don't know if that was...
That'll make everything all right. That'll make everyone forget about everything.
You know, you didn't hear a peep about that one.
That'll make everybody forget about it. Rick Saratella. All right, Rick, we only got about 30 seconds to a minute left here. USFL should be fun this week. Birmingham only lost one game all year. They get the Breakers. I think Birmingham advanced in a lower scoring game. And I'll tell you what, the Generals and the Stars should be a fun one, man. Should be a fun one. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Generals will survive and move on.
Yeah, I think there could be a lot of points on the board in both of these games, actually. And Birmingham's been the best team from start to finish. They were very deep, I think, as talented as any team in the league. I think New Jersey has kind of found its way, and they keep you guessing with that quarterback situation. They got two competent quarterbacks. Usually I'm not a fan of the quarterback by committee approach, but it's kind of like, hey, whoever the hot hand is going to start this week, it's not necessarily alternating every other series. So I like the Generals. I like the Stallions. Birmingham versus Jersey.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
Buckle up.
Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. The Late Night Anchor Mantle Class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My name's Bobby, and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Thanks, Bobby. Bobby Riggs. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us on the program. Talking about Deshaun Watson and these NDAs. Seems like NDAs, man, they're in the news a lot, right? We heard recently with Vince McMahon and the non-disclosure agreements. You know, you hear this often. People will settle a lawsuit, but as part of the settlement, the person is not allowed to talk about it. Sort of goes back to Stormy Daniels. Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. Similar situation, right? She actually did violate it by talking about it after the fact. So once you take the money, you're not allowed talking about it after the fact. But it's, you know, I understand, like, if you're a politician, like, I understand if you're a big-time businessman and stuff. It's like, yeah, this, we got to NDA. Like, you know what I mean? Like, big-time companies will do that, right? You can't disclose what happened in a boardroom, right, et cetera. Like, even it's not just for sexual purposes. You know, monetary, proprietary, you know, business, et cetera. Copyright, right? You can't talk about what happens in this room. And a lot of, it's sort of commonplace. But Deshaun Watson's walking around with these things. Like, he's not a lawyer or something. He's walking around these things like they're business cards. I've got to get a, where can I get some of these NDAs? I guess I could just make my own. I'm going to go into the local, like, Kinko's. But Tom, listen, need you to print me up some NDAs. And everybody that I meet, everybody that I come across, like when I go into 7-Eleven, I'm going to make the lady sign it. I should film this and see how it goes. I'm just going to, you know, go. I'm going to get a big gulp. I'm going to get a big gulp and some nachos. I'm going to go up to the cash. I'm going to pay. And I'm going to say, excuse me, I need you to sign this. As far as our interaction just happened here, I need you to sign this. You know, that's what Deshaun Watson, like, basically showing up. Put it this way. If you're a massage therapist, all right, if you're a woman massage therapist and Deshaun Watson shows up and you see, you know, he's got a stack of NDAs in his pocket and they're just, you know, they're right there in plain sight, NDA. You know, you're like, all right, I think we're going to have a problem here. Anyways, I'm sick of the Deshaun Watson stuff. Like I said earlier, it's like Kyrie Irving. Sick of the Kyrie Irving stuff as well. It's like, who cares where Kyrie Irving plays? He's not going to play anyways next year. Like, you think it's just the vaccination? It's one thing after another. Right? It'll be his sister's birthday or something, and he'll need 3 weeks off. You know, like, at this point, he is who he is. He's a nice guy. But because you're a nice guy doesn't mean that I'm going to pay you $50 million a year to work for me. That's the way I look at Kyrie Irving. That's my take on Kyrie. I actually like Kyrie, so I don't want to bash him and stuff. Right, I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a cool dude and stuff. But I also think that he lives in his own world, and that's all fine. If you're, I don't know, a musician, you're a solo artist, or if you're an MMA fighter, you're a tennis player, you're a boxer, right? You can live in your own world. You can be who you want. When you play a team sport, like put it this way, like if I can understand why Brooklyn doesn't want to pay him long term now. And I see some teams will take the chance, but the problem is he won't want to go to the type of teams that are going to want to take a chance on him. And I don't know, man. The Lakers seem to enjoy like having a circus act, so who knows? Maybe, you know what I mean, people are going to push, obviously, this Irving for Westbrook stuff, right? And reunite Westbrook with KD and put Kyrie in Los Angeles, which I got to tell you, just for the entertainment standpoint, let's make it happen. Let's make it happen. Just for the entertainment standpoint. Like dropping Kyrie Irving in with AD and LeBron. Basketball-wise, you know what's amazing about that is either way, people are reunited. Kyrie Irving reunited with LeBron, who they actually did win a title together. If I'm the Lakers, I would be happy with this. I mean, that's like the best case scenario. I don't attack Westbrook like everybody, but I think Westbrook is who he is, and he was who he was with the Lakers even. But I don't think it's a good fit. Kyrie's obviously a better fit. From a basketball standpoint, Kyrie, LeBron, and AD are a very competitive trio. But then you get into the health situation, and it's ironic because LeBron's the oldest one, and he's the most consistent one. Like, you know what I mean? You got to put it this way. Like, if you're a Laker fan, I know Laker fans would love it.
Laker fans love everything, right? They want Bradley Beal. They want Kyrie Irving. They want everything. But basically, you already have to hold your breath all the time with Anthony Davis. You can't bring in another guy that's unstable, right? AD is unstable physically, and Kyrie Irving is unstable mentally. And I don't say that, I want to word it correctly. He's not like unstable in a, and you know what I mean? I'm not saying that he has issues. I mean, he's unstable like as a teammate. Let's just call it out for what it is. I mean, like I said, between not getting his vax deal, like I said, he might show up, he might not show up, he might need 2 weeks off because of this. He might retire because something, you know what I mean, upset him. Right? Like, you know, he's all over the place, this dude. So that's what I'm saying. I like the guy personally, but from a basketball standpoint, I'm just sort of like, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, you know, do what you're going to do. Right? Do what you're going to do. And same with Brooklyn. You guys had a good thing going. You had good chemistry. You had good young players. And you shook it up to bring KD and Kyrie, and it blew up on you. And I don't think it's going to be better this year, to be honest, moving forward. So with the draft coming up here, we are starting to lock in some picks here officially. I see Jaden Ivey right now to go fourth overall, minus 120. I don't really see, you know what I mean? At this price, I think it's a good bet. Now, I don't, you know, if you read the mock, I'm not betting these picks due to mock drafts. You know what I mean? Because there's no, like, real Bible of the NBA mock draft to begin with. And like I said, this is such a volatile draft. All you can really do, what I do, and listen, you guys know I do very well with drafts, right? Like the NFL, like the combined last 2 years, like literally like, you know, 24-4 or something like that. Like absolutely crushed the NFL draft the last 2 years. I remember last year off the top of my head, I have a good memory with his stuff. I went 6-3 last year. I think I went 6-3, but I took a big long shot underdog in the draft. I had some weird pick that I rolled the dice with. But I remember I made money. It was 6-3. This year, we're already in on Chet Holmgren to be the top pick. I got to own it. It was plus 320 when we took it, right? So, but, you know, we rolled the dice. Hey, I hope he still is at this point. But doesn't feel like it. He's going to be the top pick. I think he's the slam dunk to be the second pick. So let's say it's Jabari, first overall, Chet goes second, Paolo goes third to the Rockets, Jaden Ivey goes fourth. You know, there's a player here where, you know, I might be in a minority, but Keegan Murray. And I like Keegan Murray. We've talked a lot about Keegan Murray. I'm not so sure Keegan Murray is some lock to be a top five pick. And, you know, right now, over 5.5 is plus money. So basically what we're doing here is we're going to take a shot, man, that Shaedon Sharpe goes under 7.5 at plus money, and that Keegan Murray goes over 5.5. And you know what, as far as Ben Mathurin is concerned, and listen, Keegan Murray's a roll of the dice one. It's just sort of the price. But I'm looking here, and I already clicked on Shaedon Sharpe. I got Jaden Ivey ready to pull the trigger in the queue here right now. And I got Ben Mathurin at 6.5. So I didn't play the Keegan Murray yet. I did put in the Shaedon Sharpe bet. I'm sort of playing the market now. Like, this is, you know what I mean? This is like Bitcoin, guys. It might be, you know what I mean? I'm getting Jaden Ivey minus 120 right now. We'll check in tomorrow night and we'll see what it is. We'll see what it is. But it seems to me like a pretty good number for Jaden Ivey to go fourth to Sacktown. Let's hold off on the Keegan Murray one right now. Because, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time breaking that down. We have spent a lot of time breaking Ben Mathurin down. And as much as I like Ben Mathurin, I actually think Keegan Murray could go before him. So if Jabari is first, Chet Holmgren 2 to Oklahoma City, Banchero goes 3 to Houston, Jaden Ivey goes 4 to Sacramento, and then you got 5, the Detroit Pistons. that really could go a lot of different ways. But you know what? I got to tell you, if you are the Detroit Pistons, what makes the most sense here? It's not Ben Mathurin. It isn't. He's good, but I don't think it's not the best fit. I think if you're the Pistons, you're thinking, listen, man, Shaedon Sharpe is the pure scorer. We can put him with Cunningham, or let's put Keegan Murray. Imagine Keegan Murray with Cunningham, right? So, you know, I get why he's at the five, but my deal with Murray is there's not a lot of wiggle room if you're betting this under, and you got to lay juice there. And then, so, you got Shaedon Sharpe, you got Keegan Murray, you've got Jaden Ivey, who I do believe, so that would be 4, 5, and 6, which would box Mathurin out of the top six. And I think, ultimately, it's better for Ben Mathurin anyways. Because I think they will pull the trigger with 7 in Portland. And if you're Ben Mathurin, playing with Damian Lillard is, like, super badass. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's better? Like, ending up with Dame Lillard at 7 or playing with Sacramento at 4? Like, obviously, right? So, like, if you're Ben Mathurin, it's almost better for you. And you know what? I'm going to stick to it. I talked about Mathurin earlier, and, you know, like, we've dug down deep into this. But I believed earlier that he was going to go over to 6.5. Pete told us that he worked out for the 5, 6, and 7 teams. Those are the only 3 teams that Ben Mathurin worked out for and met. So he met with the Pistons, he met with the Pacers, and he met with the Blazers. Except, the Pacers are an outlier, man. The Pacers are an outlier, which could use Ben Mathurin. That's what makes this interesting, but I'm going to roll the dice that they don't. You know what? We'll back off to Keegan Murray because it's going to be Jaden Ivey, Shaedon Sharpe, maybe Murray and Keegan, you know, in that 4, 5, 6, which Ben Mathurin will go 7 or 8. I think Ben Mathurin's going 7 or 8. And I tell you what, if he ends up on the Pelicans, that would be awesome for him, too. It's all about where you end up, right? Like, you know, situations. Look at Andrew Wiggins. You know, if you're on the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're on the Golden State Warriors, it's funny how people's perception of you can change. But I'm not going crazy. Like the NFL, like I put, you know, $500 on NFL draft props. I put $1,000 on a few of them. This is a little bit different. Like I'm approaching this NBA draft just sort of like bets. Like I put $150 on Shaedon Sharpe at +130. I was thinking, what do I want to do with this? I was like, 100's not quite enough. It plus money, all right, just 150. These are just sort of like wreck. You know, we want to win, but we're not going crazy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, quickest 100 minutes of sports talk radio. Thanks to Rick Saratella, Andrew McInnes. Kicking with us on the program here this evening, as well as Steve Merrill. So the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow night. Critical game, another must-win situation. I know it sounds cliche and a must-win, and if it's not like an elimination game, but hey, let's be real, it's a must-win situation for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I think they're going to get it done. They're 8-1 on home ice in these playoffs. They're a resilient team. They were down 2-0 to the New York Rangers. And what happened? They won 4 straight games. They've won 2 Stanley Cups in a row for a reason. And I don't think that beating them 7-0 was a good idea. I still think the residual effects from that will still carry over. It's a very difficult place to play. And as we've stated before, man, there's something about this, like, in, you know, normally home ice, home field, home court, it's like, yeah, whatever. We just saw the NBA Finals. It didn't matter, right? Golden State just went into Boston and won the championship there, right? They were able to win on the home court, no problem. We see, you know, home court and home field, it doesn't mean as much. Home ice doesn't mean as much as it used to anymore. But in this series, it does, and I think it will. I think this series is going to be a long one. I think it's going to go like 7 games. And we're still going to cash that ticket at +1.5. Remember, we got the Tampa Bay Lightning at +1.5 games. So they win tomorrow. Basically, they need to win 2 more games and we win the bet. They don't even need to win the series. But I think they're going to tie this thing up tomorrow with 2. and then we're going to have a series. All right, and you know what? If you like the Tampa Bay Lightning, we didn't do it the other night because we already had the Lightning when they were like plus 400 and stuff, but they're still plus 260 right now, plus 250, plus 260. I don't have a problem with pulling the trigger with the Lightning to win the Cup right now at that price, and you can put yourself in an Edward Scissorhands if that's your thing. I'm not a gardener. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.